I put the following two quotes at the top of your bulletin so that you could take them home with you. And I will read them out loud now because they reflect something of what I feel about this particular beginning of a new year. The first one comes from one of my favorite TV characters, Doctor Who. How many people here know who Doctor Who is? The rest of you are saying, who? Doctor Who is an English program that has been on the television for at least 50 years now, with a couple of breaks in between. And Doctor Who is a time traveler, so he travels through time and space, and usually he ends up on Earth to help us muddle through our difficulties, shall we say, our challenges. And Doctor Who changes, he regenerates, which is an interesting concept. So that's one of the reasons it's been going on for 50 years, because there are now 13 doctors, and the most recent doctor is a woman. So even Doctor Who in the universe is caught up with that liberation. But the previous doctor, before he regenerated, left this advice for the people of Earth. Remember, hate is always foolish, and love is always wise. Always try to be nice, but never fail to be kind. Love hard, run fast, be kind. And the second quote is, of course, from my favorite book of all, The Lord of the Rings. The moment when the Fellowship of the Ring decides that someone needs to take the ring in order to destroy it. Because the ring, in Gandalf's words, is holy evil. And there is a clamoring of the group because everybody wants to take the ring, but they each have their own reason to take the ring. And finally, one of the littlest of people, a halfling named Frodo, stands up and says, and he has to say it almost twice to be heard by the grown-ups around him, "I will take the ring. I will take it, though I do not know the way." And I offer that to you this morning as a beginning to reflect on what is our way through this new year of 2020. This year that echoes of perfect clarity, 2020 vision, and yet that for many of us, it's difficult for us to look ahead and predict what we will see in the months to come, especially given some of the news we have seen in the past week. So I offer this reflection this morning in the spirit of those of us who are willing to say, we will take the ring. We will take it though we do not know the way. So, the first Sunday in Epiphany is always a Sunday when we read about the wise ones. Notice I do not say three, because nowhere in the story that Matthew unfolds does he ever indicate how many wise ones are showing up. All he says, and wise ones came from the east, and they stopped in Jerusalem to chat with Herod and got some information, and they went on to Bethlehem and found the baby and gave him three gifts. So naturally the assumption is there were three of them, because each one brought a gift, which is not an unreasonable assumption, but it is still an assumption. The challenge with this story for me is that while Matthew has this particular story, Luke over here has a totally different birth story. A birth story that involves Bethlehem and shepherds and angels and refers to Augustus Caesar, and you realize suddenly that you're dealing with two birth narratives that are quite different from each other. And I recall, because I'm at the age where I'm starting to reminisce, I recall a conversation I had many years ago in Womona, Saskatchewan, at a ministerial with one of my evangelical colleagues, who was going on about how everything in the Bible is true. And so I challenged him, and I said, you know, how can you say that when we have these two different stories? They can't both be true. because they're each different from the other. And he just smiled at me in that way that evangelical colleagues have of smiling at us poor ministers, and said, "But Tony, with God nothing is impossible." You would be surprised to hear that I bit my tongue. By that point, I'd already matured a little bit. But I did leave with a sense of perhaps I can admire his faith. But what does it say about his scriptural interpretation abilities? Because the fact that there are two birth narratives suggests to me that we are being told something unique. That we need to ask ourselves, what is each of the birth narratives pointing to? If they cannot both be historically accurate, perhaps they have another purpose. Not accuracy, but guiding us on the journey ourselves. And so, of course, I think of the star. The symbolism of the star up there. The star that guides the wise ones on their journey towards Bethlehem. And my first thought would be, okay, what are the stars for each of us? How do we see our star and recognize it as something important and follow it to wherever it is taking us? And that is certainly one interpretation of that unique story. Discovering our own star and having the courage to follow it on the journey that it is taking us upon. But me being me, I don't ever like the simple solution. I want to delve deeper into the story. And it hit me as I was reflecting on today's service that there is another possibility. What if each one of us is a star to someone else? Not the people who follow necessarily, but the people who let our light shine so that someone else can see and say to themselves, this is something I also want to be part of. How many of us have ever thought of the story in that light? That we ourselves can be the stars that help others find their way through the muddle of this world. That we can be guides on someone else's journey. That by who we are and how we live and how we relate with one another as community, we become stars. Some of you will remember a time in life when the church was a focal point of the community. I recall growing up in Eastern Ontario in a rural community where the church was a mile and a half down the road. The school was actually farther to walk to the church. And we always drove to the church, but I had to walk to school. But the church was the center of the community. And activities revolved around the church. And there was certain comfort to that. You knew where you were going. You made friends with your classmates who also came to church. You got to know their extended family. And there was that sense of community. And it seems to me that as I look at Calvary United Church as it is growing, that we also are a guiding light for the community. Arlene told me this morning about how many hampers this community, this faith community, put together for the wider community of Prince Albert. Something like over 300 hampers. Where is Arlene? Was it over 300?
336
Christmas hampers to the wider community, feeding about 1,500 people. That is a star. That is this community being a star to the wider community in the ways in which we recognize a need and we stretch out our arms and we respond to that need. And while we may not see any of those people come through our doors, their lives have been touched because of what you have done. Their lives have been touched because we at Calvary have reached out to the wider community as stars that say, we see what is happening in the world around us and we want to do something about it. That is what being a star means. It doesn't just mean shining in the night, guiding some people on a journey. It means being ourselves, those who shine a light on the community around us and see the needs and respond to them so that others too might be able to open their eyes and see the light. Our light is gleaming. We are that gleaming light. May we honor our gift and our Creator who shines in us and through us to the world around us.